Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation with Jim McIntyre, Deputy Assistant Secretary for Budget and Performance Planning at the U.S. Department of Labor. And joining us in our conversation is Jonathan Brule. Well, Jim, let's start by talking about the President's management agenda. Could you give us an overview of how the Department is working on the five government-wide initiatives?
Sure. We have apportioned responsibility for each one of the five main government-wide initiatives between the relevant assistant secretaries. It so happens the way that Labor Department is organized that Pat Pizzella, my boss, leads four of those initiatives. And the CFO, Chief Financial Officer Sam Mock, of course, leads the financial management piece of the President's management agenda. So we have really focused a lot on making sure that folks are accountable for whatever we've designed for ourselves to do to accomplish these five management agenda initiatives of the President.
And how have you scored against these initiatives?
Right. Well, recently we've enjoyed a lot of success in achieving a green score for four out of the five. Competitive sourcing is the one where the status score for the Department is yellow, but we've been working very closely with OMB over the months, and we'll continue to do so, and are confident that we can turn that score to green as well as we march down the plan that we've negotiated with OMB to achieve green status in that as well.
Let's focus specifically on the Budget and Performance Integration Initiative. What are some of the details of this particular effort?
The Budget and Performance Initiative, to me, at its most succinct, is all about making decisions on a more well-informed basis, program and resource decisions on a more well-informed basis, policy decisions as well. The specific pieces of that involve the Department's planning process, both strategic and current year performance planning process, the reporting or feedback process where you assess how well you've done against what you plan to do in a particular year, as well on a couple of different aspects of how well you know your cost structure, whether you can determine what it costs to do a particular thing, and the management of that cost over time to either hold it constant in an inflationary environment or maybe even drive the cost down to achieve whatever result you achieve in a more efficient way. That's saying an awful lot.
Well, what are some of the key elements in Deputy Secretary Law's Proud to Be initiative?
Deputy Secretary Law's initiative really tracks closely, as you might well expect, the standards in the President's management agenda for achieving green status in budget and performance and integration in particular. He basically has just charged each one of the constituent agencies of the Labor Department to work together to have an ongoing conversation about managing performance. It's not a one-shot deal, as we all imagine that it is not. Managing performance is a day-to-day affair, and you have to come together once in a while, either monthly or quarterly, as we're trying to do. We have done a semi-annual performance review and performance conversation in the department, but we're changing that to a quarterly conversation and internal reporting process so that we sample ourselves a little bit more often and are then able to deal with problems a little bit more on a bit more timely basis as that conversation goes forward. It's really about managing performance as a process and attending to the data kinds of things, all the blocking and tackling of performance, basically, to use a sports metaphor, to look at the data that we've got, to make sure that we've got accurate and timely data, and where it's not accurate or timely, to to figure out a plan to get it so, and to focus, as I said, periodically on what that what those data mean. Are we on track, off track, ahead of schedule, on schedule, behind, et cetera. So it's nothing more than an implementation plan at a fairly high level of the kinds of things that we need to do to manage our programs well, to make sure that they're accomplishing what they need to accomplish on this performance journey to the end of the strategic planning horizon, and to then understand our costs and make sure that we're managing the costs of our program's performance as well as the performance itself.
Let's explore that in a little more detail. Can you give us an illustration of why there's a clear need to focus on budget and performance integration within the department?
Getting back to something I said earlier, it's all about making decisions on a better informed basis. In the resource environment that we're in right now, sort of a constrained deficit reduction resource environment, and no one of us has any argument with that whatsoever. It's necessary to manage the overall government's costs in a downward way. In that kind of an environment, management takes on even more importance. And to understand exactly where you need to deploy the next dollar, because dollars are scarce and therefore very precious. If you can free up dollars that you have in your hands today because you've made yourself more productive or more efficient, that gives you a dollar that you have in hand right now that you can redeploy to one of the priorities that the department has. As well as doing that, it gives us a lot better basis to go forward to OMB in the annual budget request. We can explain the need for the dollars that we have or that we want in a much more rational and coherent and convincing way, instead of speculating on what we think that might happen because of getting the resources that we asked for. We can point to past successes or past problems that we need to fix that involve resource questions and that sort of thing. So integrating the whole conversation of performance management and resource management gives one a lot better standpoint to understand where one is and where one needs to go and how one needs to get to where one needs to go over time.
An important premise of the budget and performance integration effort is that programs that do well should be continued and nurtured, while programs that do not perform well should be phased out or fixed. In what ways are you measuring programs' performance in this regard?
We have, over the years, through the GPRA thought process, come up with a fairly good set and limited set of performance objectives. We are dependent largely on states for our performance data, and that's probably no different than most cabinet departments. I know it's no different than Department of Transportation where I was before. Very few things get done totally inside the federal government. The FAA and DOT is a good example of an internal government service that gets provided, but most things that get done in the federal government get done at the state level or at least in some sort of partnership between different levels of government. So we have spent a lot of time and a good bit of money over the years trying to make sure that our state partners and local partners have good data that they can share with us so that we can understand on a fairly timely basis how we're doing in performance. Data is the foundation on which is built good performance measures. You have to understand what your objective is, as I said a little bit earlier, to understand what sort of performance metrics one needs to devise to figure out how well you're doing against what you need to get done in the real world or in the outside world. It's a process of continual improvement. I think we all got off to a bit of a rocky start in the 90s when we were first doing GPRA. We've gotten a lot better over time. And one thing that has helped, I think, is the focus on interagency performance measures. OMB asked agencies with similar programs to develop what was termed common measures, where, let's say, the Education Department and the Veterans Administration and the Labor Department, everybody with a job training or job preparation kind of a program would use the same metrics. Things like, did people enter employment, and what was the rate at which people entered employment after they got done with the job training program? What was their salary replacement if they were between jobs? They had gotten laid off and were retraining to a different skill set so that they could get a job in a different industry. At what rate did they replace their salary, and did they stay employed after a period of time after they had entered employment? So those kind of measures are sort of standard metrics in use across several different government agencies, and it helps decision makers in OMB and I'm sure at the White House determine where to invest that next dollar, which programs work the best that are serving similar populations. And differentiation is okay because the American workforce is a widely diverse population. There's nothing standard about the American workforce. There's different demographics, there's different regions, there's different industries, and all of that. So program differentiation is a good thing, but determining which are the things that work best and replicating them in those different regions or different demographic segments are really key toward improving the overall performance of the business that we're in the Labor Department and the Education Department and folks that have similar programs.
It's an interesting point, especially about common measures across the agencies. How does one stay green on the PMA scorecard? We'll ask Jim McIntyre of the Department of Labor to explain this to us when our conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.